Practice 2, Cultivating Friendly Mind. When you can't find a way to awareness that heals, how much is your mind a friend or an enemy? Very few of us are truly capable of staying supportive of ourselves at these times. This is especially the case when faced with difficult life conditions that we aren't prepared for. Often, we believe there is nothing we can do or that there is no way we can respond. We feel stymied or paralyzed when we're most hurting, afraid, or angry. At these important and pivotal moments, we all could use the support of our own friendly, realistic thoughts instead of the ones that are self-critical and make a bad situation worse. How often have you found yourself feeling bad or thinking about yourself in a critical way and thought, I wish I knew what I could do to best take care of myself? Wouldn't it be priceless to have a way of finding the right thoughts or actions that would be healing during times of troublesome feelings? This guidance and what is necessary to receive it is a major part of what we will explore together in this chapter. Why wouldn't we want to support ourselves to find effective or skillful ways to respond to life's challenges? It's natural that we want to minimize our pain and suffering and maximize our healing and well-being. As normal as this may sound, very few of us have had anyone show us how to do it. Prior to my kidney transplant and the ensuing inner chaos it created, my mind and my emotional state were in sync with each other. However, post-transplant, because of the impact of the unusual side effects of the medications, the contrast was dramatic and often very disturbing. As I've described, my sense of well-being, which I could always count on before, was on life support, and I was in survival mode. Through these experiences came many of the tools in this book. It was during this time that I developed what I came to call friendly mind, a way of thinking grounded, supportive thoughts, especially when life is most difficult and they are needed the most. It felt natural to call it that because it is mobilized specifically at the times when we think we've done all we can do and we still can't find a way to feel a sense of well-being. Friendly mind is the capacity to focus on our response to how we feel more than on the feeling itself. It is a supportive inner space, a friendly space that guides us to the best way of taking care of ourselves, no matter how challenging or even hopeless the situation may be. Instead of being taken over by the negative impact of emotions, medications, hormones, chemistry, or circumstances, friendly mind, as the term suggests, supports us with our own befriending thoughts. Even though we will not always be able to feel friendly because of the depth of the difficulties we're facing, it's possible to generate friendly guiding thoughts no matter what we feel. This wasn't easy for me to get to at first. It came with fits and starts as I struggled to keep exhaustion, anxiety, and irritability from taking over my life and mind. When I could generate and listen to my friendly thoughts and mind as I was feeling the worst, it turned out to make all the difference in the world. During this most challenging time of my life, this shift was transformational. Even though I couldn't feel good, I could find and experience a response to my plight that had a friendly understanding. Learning to shift gears into friendly mind not only affected the way I handled my own situation, but it also changed the way I worked with clients. But let me be clear to you, as I do with my clients, that friendly mind is not a quick fix, three easy steps kind of technique. To make any change in life endure, practice an authenticity are required. But as both my clients and I have come to know, it is worth the effort. There is rarely an hour that goes by when our friendly mind is not beneficial, either in addressing our more obvious habitual critical thoughts or dealing with life's greater challenges where the stakes are higher. At extremely challenging times, it's so hard, perhaps even impossible, to feel at ease or even close to anything like peace. Having friendly guiding thoughts as our companions as we contemplate our next step is an enormous help. Friendly mind encourages us to move toward simple guiding thoughts and questions. These could be, what's the best move for me in the next hour? I've heard that critical thought so many times, and I'm asking for what would be helpful. I'm sorry you have to go through this. How can I best take care of you now? Friendly mind doesn't exist to impose a new moral standard and create pressure of any kind. Instead, your friendly mind is guiding yourself with thoughts that are empathic and understanding from the most sensible place inside. You are simply seeking what is, in your own eyes, a relaxed and natural next move. And if nothing is possible, then you seek to support acceptance and patience until you can find direction. This direction most frequently is to accept that you can't change the situation or feeling in that moment. You focus your thinking on how to respond to the situation in a helpful way instead of trying to find solutions that, in that moment, are impossible. Recognizing the trap of impossible standards. Your friendly mind is there for you in a key way. It helps you recognize when you are trying to live up to an impossible or unrealistic standard, one that you have little or no hope of achieving at the present time or in the near future, or one that maybe you shouldn't be aspiring to live up to at all. When you've made your very best effort and have still not met that standard, it is unfortunately all too common for you to be critical toward yourself. It is only when you look at it with your friendly mind that you realize that it doesn't make sense to give yourself a hard time for not living up to those impossible or unrealistic standards. A painful irony is that when we pursue the impossible, we lose opportunities to do the possible. There are many feelings and physiological states that make it very hard to feel good toward and about ourselves. Most of us can't easily feel joy when we're exhausted or inspiration when we're down. This is so common, and very much why having access to friendly thoughts is especially important in times of our greatest need. It's important to know that even when you have understood that you deserve to have friendly thoughts, that doesn't mean that you will be able to implement them immediately. Old standards and habits have a way of sticking around, even when we know better. It takes time to welcome friendly mind. Life's conditions are always changing, but all too often we don't adapt our expectations and desires to them. Our unawareness of what's needed at times of change is the source of so much extra pain. We impose prior standards on ourselves and fail to see the self-inflicted wounds that result from that. It's so important to lose the unrealistic promise of the standards we hold to. We need to scrutinize them and ask, in this particular circumstance in my life, do these standards really still apply? Reflection point number one. Can you see an impossible or unrealistic standard operating in your life and identify specific critical thoughts you've said to yourself because of it. Reflection point number two. What could you say to yourself in response to these critical thoughts that might be helpful? Most of these standards are internalized when we are young, whether through our families of origin, movies, commercials, or peer pressure. These standards can create something like the refrain that a record player needle makes when stuck in its groove, playing over and over in your heart and head. It continually, for example, plays music with lyrics that say, "You are not good enough." Often these standards are so ingrained that we have virtually no awareness of them. They are invisible. But we can see the reflection in how we feel in our lives and in some of the important choices we make. In fact, some standards make such a deep imprint that even if we consciously decide we no longer have to fulfill them, the self-criticism and self-rejecting feelings may linger for a long time. The feelings of pressure created by these standards and conditionings make for strong headwinds. Our friendly mind, with its friendly sensibility, counters these with simple, wise guidance. Here are 9 of the most common areas where we are likely to be caught in some impossible standards that make activating friendly mind absolutely essential. Number 1, family. This can have so many varieties that it is hard to compile a list. A few of them include feeling guilty for failing to satisfy a family member, feeling pressured to be different than you are in your life, or wanting to spend less or more time with a particular family member. Number 2, marriage and having children. Attempting to live up to unrealistic, perfect expectations about what a wife or husband or father or mother should be, or feeling pressure to fulfill the timing of when marriage or becoming a parent is supposed to happen. Number 3, success. Feeling pressure to have a more successful career, lifestyle, or more money than is actually possible in your circumstances. Number 4, beauty, body type, attractiveness. Wanting to have an appearance that is not possible. Measuring yourself negatively for not being desirable enough. 5, youthfulness. Expecting yourself to look significantly younger than you are, or to have the physical capacities of a much younger person. 6, love relationship. Trying to achieve a quality of relationship that you think, correctly or not, others have, and blaming yourself or your partner when you haven't been able to, even though you've done all you believed was possible. Number 7, religion or spirituality. Feeling guilty for not following the tenets that you learned even when they don't really make sense to you. This could be sexually, morally, or simply not following any of the traditions. Number 8, intelligence. Feeling embarrassed and ashamed for what you perceive to be your limited intelligence in any area of your life, leading you to hide this from others. Number 9, confidence, self-esteem. Feeling insecure and using that as a weapon against yourself. If you identify with one or more of these situations, believe me, you are not alone. I have never worked with a client who doesn't bring some of these impossible or unrealistic standards into our sessions. Our friendly mind matters so much to the improvement of the quality of our lives. This practice, or way of supporting ourselves, helps to free us from these impossible standards we've adopted from the outside, often unknowingly, by exposing standards that prevent us from feeling good in our lives. Friendly mind helps us to recognize the achievable capacities and achievements that are within reach. Reflection point number one. What standard creates the greatest pressure on you to become a certain way that is not natural or possible now? Reflection point number two. If this pressure has created suffering for you, can your friendly mind help you address it? What might your friendly mind say? Distinguishing friendly mind from other approaches which support well-being. Our minds respond in challenging times in ways that might look like friendly mind, but once we look at what's happening more closely, we see that these ways are very different. There are four particular ones that I've seen quite often that I want to share with you. It's important not to be hoodwinked by them. They are, number one, positive thinking. Number two, conventional thinking. Number three, negative thinking. Number four, the fixer mentality. Number one. One of the most beguiling of these is positive thinking, entertaining thoughts that you are hoping will have a beneficial effect. However, these thoughts are prone to being overly optimistic. Affirmations usually aren't grounded and don't deal with what you can actually do in a given situation or how you need to be to best take care of yourself. What does positive thinking sound like? Here is a crystallized version of its many voices, and there are infinite possibilities. Number one, I know I can find love if I just stay trusting myself. Number two, I am going to manifest the money I need just by staying focused. Number three, my fears are not based on what is real, and I will be fine no matter what. Number four, I love myself unconditionally, and I'm sure it will help. Number five, I wish everyone realized it is their negative thinking that causes all of their problems. That is why I'm so happy, because I haven't fallen into that trap. Number six, I believe I can do anything I put my mind to. Number seven, our minds are miraculous, and if we steer them in the direction of believing everything will work out, then our lives will be the evidence of that. While positive thinking may make life more optimistic, these kinds of thoughts usually don't address the necessary elements of development that are needed to really understand ourselves. Positive thinking doesn't often ask about the practical next steps to take to make it more likely to receive what we need the most. It's as if we all have a bit of Harry Potter inside us. We can wave our magic wand and it will be so. Another drawback of this positivity is that it frequently gets lost in generality or abstraction, never really addressing the reality at hand. There's also a danger that these statements can become robotic and reduced to a distraction. To really support ourselves, we need to see what's actually in front of us in the present and look for and implement actions and attitudes that are realistically possible. Conversely, friendly mind is based on the fact that you have made your realistic best efforts, knowing that you deserve and trust in your friendly thoughts. Our best efforts do not mean they are perfect efforts, and we have to watch that we don't convert our friendly thoughts into yet another standard to meet. Number two, conventional thinking. I would be a wealthy man if I had a quarter for every time I heard the response, "I'm fine," or "I'm good," the question, "How are you doing?" For most people, even when in the midst of a challenge, this is their conventional reply, a blanket answer that makes it look like everything is fine, even when it isn't. This conventional approach to real pains and fears cuts off the empathy or help from others that could catalyze a better approach to the challenge. But for those of us who have a life that's working better than average and which is relatively successful and peaceful, the conventional tendency is to compartmentalize the challenging aspects and emotions of our experiences. Frequently, the rationale is, why make a big deal out of it and burden yourself and others? What good's it gonna do? These questions may sound sensible, but they have the effect of isolating us when we're hurting and frightened the most. There can be many reasons for this type of question. We may not want to be that transparent and vulnerable. Some of us have a view that we should be self-sufficient and that it would show a neediness or weakness to do otherwise. But whatever the reasons are, this view is a rationalization that leaves us isolated and with no possibilities to reach out for help. Sure, some of us can work with our difficult feelings on our own, and sometimes that's the right decision. But just saying all is well causes us to miss sharing important opportunities for intimacy and relief, especially when we are with someone who might be able to offer caring in a sensitive and helpful way. The voice of conventional thinking often sounds like this: I can take care of myself. I don't think there's any benefit to complaining. Nothing's going to help, so what's the point in talking about it? I feel invaded when others need to know what I'd rather keep private. I don't want the conversation to be so focused on me. I'd rather talk about something more interesting. It's an obsession to have to always talk about yourself. Conventional thinking doesn't allow us to maximize benefit from sharing our vulnerability and giving and receiving on this deeper level. Friendly Mind encourages us to share the challenges that we are facing with those we trust the most. This deeper sharing is a prime benefit of our Friendly Mind. It allows us to have the best of both worlds, learning to be friendly and resourceful toward ourselves and giving and receiving from those we most trust. Friendly Mind is always looking carefully at the person you are talking with, and it has the capacity to be humble and courageous enough to acknowledge when times are tough. It wants to optimize your chances of being as fulfilled and healthy as possible. So it will encourage you to be open to all resources and anyone that might be of help. Your Friendly Mind is also happy to be self-sufficient when that is the best way to take care of yourself. Your Friendly Mind is not a fair weather friend. It's always there to support you. Number 3, negative thinking. A more harmful substitute for Friendly Mind that often pretends to be your friend, but is just the opposite, is negative thinking. This voice claims with authority that it wants what's best for you, and it believes that it needs to keep telling you that you're not doing or being enough to keep you alert. It believes it is trying to awaken you as it loudly tells you what you need to do, but it is actually critical and harsh. Most of us who have experienced this voice haven't been aware of how harmful its effects are. We believe the words, but can't clearly see the rejecting and demeaning attitudes they contain. What does this negative thinking sound like? I can't believe you still have this problem. Why don't you just do dot, dot, dot? I hate it when I feel this way. Let it go. I wish I could be more like dot, dot, dot. There's something wrong with me. I haven't been able to find a stable ability to love. Why do you act like you're the only one with a problem? It's embarrassing. You should be doing this and not this, dot, dot, dot. You have to work harder than you do. The least you could do is admit that you have created your own problems. As outrageous and crazy as it seems when you hear it, we often believe that overtly criticizing ourselves will make us better and can be a source of motivation. From observing my clients, myself, and those close to me, it is evident that many of us hold unconscious beliefs that being tough on ourselves will somehow make us stronger. Upon closer examination, however, it becomes clear that negative or critical thinking does not create motivation. It actually undermines our courage to change. We end up so demoralized that we gradually lose faith in ourselves. We might say to ourselves, I hate it when I feel so jealous, but then think, at least I'm being honest with myself. Or we reject and resist our feelings only to find them magnified. Have you noticed what happens when you try to force your way out of a particular feeling? When you've been doing this, how's it been working out for you? Sooner or later, perhaps even now, as you reflect on this, it becomes clear that you can best face life, your life's most difficult moments, when you are accepted and encouraged. We will explore the way negative thinking operates in greater details in later chapters, particularly when we turn to the subject of self-rejection. Friendly mind gets the sorrowful hoax of trying to change ourselves through such negativity. It is very likely to ask you, how often has it worked out well for you when you have berated yourself? It is clear that friendly mind will steer you toward what will have a chance of making your life better, but will never do it in a negative way. Its methods are to use language that makes it clear that it is speaking to you with respectful, sensitive words. It can be strong if necessary, but never expresses itself with negativity. It asks you to do your best, but never in a way that puts you down. Number 4, the fixer mentality. The fixer often masquerades as the helper. It is much more intellectually logical than the other ways of thinking. Its motto is, just fix it by either acting on something or denying anything needs to be done. The friends or loved ones who use this approach, most oftenly men, often have an underground impatience with their own and others' feelings and propose ways to make the feelings go away. Most often, they are sincere in trying to help and simply don't realize what will bring benefit. If you're feeling sad, they're inclined to focus on what will cheer you up. If you're frustrated, they may guide you to just let it go because it's not going to do you any good. The difficulty is that the fixer doesn't realize that what can be most helpful is just to listen and care for the person who is feeling any type of challenge, so that person can either experience being loved as they are or have a time to reflect on how they can best take care of themselves. What does this way of thinking sound like? How many times do I have to tell you that you are your own worst enemy and that if you just think about this rationally, you'll feel better? The mind can solve any problem if you look at it from every angle and make a genuine effort. You do realize that you are reinforcing your pain by talking about it all the time, don't you? Just give it a rest. I hope by now you see what I've been telling you. Therapy is a bunch of crap, and all you need to do is not take yourself so seriously. It's really pretty simple. Yes, the fixer can sometimes create a distraction or give the temporary illusion of changing difficult feelings, but their method is ineffective in creating support, and it will ultimately injure intimacy. Friendly mind doesn't sound like any of these four voices. It does not put out a positive spin. It does not respond in a conventional way that leaves challenges unaddressed with the belief that we are fine. It also doesn't give everything, or for that matter, anything, a negative twist under the guise of helping us to do better. And finally, it does not incessantly intrude into our awareness by claiming it will fix things and then fail to do so. As I said earlier in the chapter, friendly mind is responsive to our reality in a grounded, supportive way. It is our best guide in the present. It is a thinker that steers us to engage our challenges with thoughts that are friendly and that contain simple, caring wisdom. 6 principles of friendly mind. Here is a closer look at this remarkably liberating way of thinking and supporting ourselves. Number 1, being aware of present challenges. The first principle is simply letting yourself recognize and acknowledge that you are facing difficult times or circumstances in your life. You are honest about what they are and aware enough to be able to reflect consciously on them. 2, thinking empathically when we feel stuck. Your friendly mind knows that you aren't feeling caught in any of your challenges or difficult emotions on purpose. It doesn't assign blame. It has empathic thoughts toward you and what you're feeling. Even though when times are very difficult, the empathy is likely to only be on a thinking level. It will say something like this to you. I'm sorry that you have to go through this, and it's important to be a support to yourself. I am going to ask you some questions and will probably make some suggestions about how you can best take care of yourself when you can't change what you wish you could. Are you ready? Can you hear me? And do you believe that it is important to listen to my response? I can hear that you aren't listening yet, and I will ask again and hope you hear me now. Remember, this would be difficult for everyone. Just take a breath in and out, and then consider what the next step is that you can take. It could be in your contemplation of how you can take care of yourself without having to change your feeling or the obstacle. By thinking simply and practically, you allow yourself to deal with what you're going through. And if you don't know and are confused, I will stay with you and remind you that not knowing means you are sincere and you need to keep asking, as it will impact how well you can ultimately care for yourself. Can you hear this? If not, we'll keep working this out together no matter how you feel. I can see how hard this is for you. With persistence, you will eventually open up to the suggestions from your friendly mind. It's providing an important and different kind of empathy. Usually we associate empathy with feelings, but in many situations, we may be suffering enough that our caring feelings aren't available to us. The best we can do during these times is to be empathic with our thoughts and our intellect. We are following sensible thoughts rather than being controlled by disturbing feelings. Our simplest guiding friendly thoughts, then, are the ones we need to listen to be receptive to. Otherwise, at these times, our lives will be consumed and directed by our disturbed feelings. This kind of empathy for yourself is a communication between your friendly mind and your most challenging feelings. Your friendly mind is neutral, as it encourages you to listen, helping you not to be frozen by your emotions. It has no interest in dominating you or judging you, but simply wants to accept and relate to you as you are, and then make its simple guiding suggestions. 3, having friendly guiding thoughts without needing to feel friendly. Perhaps the hardest aspect of this principle is accepting that sometimes we can't feel good no matter whatever we've tried to do. Many of us, especially if we are under the age of 60 years, may not have had much experience with serious health issues or mortality, have assumed that we can either feel good or virtually always find a way to get there. Friendly mind, however, understands that our immediate circumstances are sometimes unchangeable. In any given moment, it provides a crucial realism that relieves us from the pressure of our usually unconscious standards to reach a certain goal or to feel a certain way, even when it's impossible. We receive the most benefit from friendly mind if we can let go of needing to feel friendly and allow a simple, thoughtful guidance to enter our internal safe and spacious zone. The pressure to feel friendly inhibits the potential benefit of our friendly mind. This pressure often makes us believe we're a failure for not feeling friendly. This is not helpful. We all need continuous reminders that having friendly thoughts is the best we can do at times when we are feeling our worst. As I shared in the introduction, in my own life, those first years of contending with the unique effects of the kidney transplant medications were a personal hell. The medications created a humbling and dismal reality. I had virtually no access to my heart or sense of well-being. In the blink of an eye or the ingestion of a pill, I was no longer the caring, empathic, relaxed person I had been. I made every effort I could conceive of, leading to many of the practices in this book, and along with the input of friends and teachers, it became clear there was nothing I could do to feel better except to be more accepting, neutral, and guide myself. Gradually, I developed a capacity to have neutral, guiding thoughts even while I felt horrible. I was learning that my self-worth or value was not predominantly based on my feelings. I began to be able to prioritize my friendly, directing thoughts while my feelings of exhaustion and despair were still present. What a major difference this made in my life at that time. It was such a relief to know that when I felt the very worst, it wasn't necessary to feel anything positive. This knowing has become an integral part of my life. I felt relieved from the pressure to live up to my prior standards and baseline enjoyment of my life. I experienced an inner knowing that nothing needed to change for me to be okay. With my natural best efforts, I could relax and let go without trying to figure out how it was going to be in the future. Number four, making our realistic best efforts for self-care. Don't make the mistake of thinking that friendly mind lets you off the hook. Just because it is friendly does not mean you aren't accountable for how you are. On the contrary, as I highlighted earlier, friendly mind is clear about wanting to make our realistic best efforts. Each of these words matter. When I say realistic best efforts, I mean a sincere determination to apply ourselves to our situation, no matter how challenging it may be, and no matter what we may be feeling. I have learned a great deal from my clients about what realistic best efforts mean, particularly from those who have been faced with challenging medical circumstances. After three spinal surgeries, Maria was feeling afraid, disoriented, and hopeless. Even with the help of a walker, she could not walk for more than 200 steps, and every step was painful. In addition, her doctors had put her on painkillers for the last 9 months to deal with the impact of the surgery. Maria was struggling with feelings that there was something wrong with her because she couldn't remember what had happened in the past and what was happening in the present. I reminded her repeatedly that the medications were creating the memory loss, the fear of having the experience of pain, and the limitation in walking were things that were challenging her on a pretty consistent basis. The idea that they could be permanent was keeping her immersed in feelings of deep anxiety. We spoke numerous times about friendly mind, the part of her that was realistic, constructive, and wanting to deal with what was really possible for her rather than trying to control the future, which was totally impossible. She got the absurdity, humor, and futility about continuing to stress over her uncontrollable future and over her inability to make herself feel deeply secure that she would be able to walk in a year. As she activated her friendly mind, it reminded her that she was actually bringing her realistic best efforts both practically and emotionally, to a terribly challenging situation. She was sharpening her focus on what she was capable of, which in her case often was literally how to take her next step, rather than trying to find a false security in a future hope. Number 5, letting go of trying to solve the impossible. As the concept of realistic best efforts underscores, we ultimately need to accept what we cannot change. We cannot solve the impossible, not today, and perhaps never. Friendly Mind does not expect us to be Superman or Superwoman. It supports us in being exactly who we are. Not attempting to solve the impossible requires admitting that we can't successfully demand or force ourselves to change these states of core suffering. Perhaps you have seen that forcing yourself to try to feel different is not an effective strategy. Hopefully this makes you smile at yourself as you see the absurdity of it. It is so helpful when we don't demand ourselves to be able to feel different than how we are. We can hear our friendly mind saying, "It is okay that you can't yet feel better in any way when you look closely and can't see any way to make it happen." To highlight this point, here are a couple of case studies. Jillian had suffered from chronic anxiety throughout her life. It was not deeply disabling, but it was a fairly constant presence underneath whatever she was experiencing. She often had the thought that she or other people that she loved were in danger in ways that she admitted were unrealistic. Other times, she felt insecure that she was going to be rejected because she believed her partner found her unattractive. This wasn't realistic either, or based on the actual situation. Her anxiety caused her to feel overly concerned about the safety of her children, and she felt that her relationship with her husband was genuinely unstable. Her first inclination was to suppress or criticize herself for being so ridiculously anxious. When I asked her with a kind but ironic question, "Are you being anxious on purpose?" she smiled and said, "Of course not." She had tried all kinds of psychotherapy to relieve the anxiety, but none of it really allowed her to address it in a way that restored her dignity and maximized her trust in herself. Over the next several months, we explored the question, "Do you have any realistic way of getting rid of the anxiety in each situation as it arises?" As it became clearer and clearer that she didn't have a magic wand to make her anxiety go away, it became evident that her best option was to address it in the moment through the part of herself that was aware that she could direct kind and reassuring thoughts toward it. This was a way of both caring for it and being independent from it, so she could carry on with her life. Sometimes she would simply have an inner dialogue such as, "I'm sorry that you have to be anxious, but you can still give the very best love to others that you're capable of and be thinking empathically about the anxiety as well." Depending on the maturity and receptivity of the person that she was with, she shared a little bit about the anxiety. Jillian was well on her way to practicing Friendly Mind when it mattered most, when she wasn't able to feel the way she wished she could. Her criteria of being her best self changed because she no longer had to get over her feelings. In fact, she recognized that she was even more proud and trusting toward herself when she could think in a self-caring way at these times. Example 2. After Janice suffered a stroke, she was very aware that she didn't speak nearly as well as before. Measuring herself against the standards of speech that she had developed before her stroke, she thought she should be able to speak better, more easily, more fluently, and more articulately. After a period of self-judgment, she gradually learned to access her friendly mind. This led her to realize the obvious, that her standards were related to the past and no longer appropriate. They were completely unrealistic given her current circumstances. She was someone who had worked on her inner life for a long period of time, so she was able to grasp friendly mind much quicker than most. And as I share this next part, I don't want you to use this against yourself and think that this is a standard that you should be able to accomplish. She learned to focus on the present thoughts that she was trying to convey. When she wasn't able to find the words, she made it clear that she wanted others to keep asking her questions to help her articulate her meaning so the conversation became truly possible. She even set up group meetings with people who had other disabilities so they could accompany and care for each other. She was able to reclaim the natural leadership that she had in her earlier life. Janice was no longer focused on the impossible goal of being able to talk as well as she could before the stroke. Thanks to her friendly mind, she gradually recognized that she was doing everything that she possibly could. Instead of judging herself harshly, she began to take pride in the progress she could actually achieve in being resilient in what was possible with her speech and her life. In each of these situations, there is the desire to feel secure that things will get better and the deepening realization that this focus is on the future, which causes endless fear and pain. By staying with the need to feel secure about a better present or future, it becomes impossible to be accepting and responsive in a way that is self-caring. This unrealistic exaggeration of a need becomes a desire for control and certainty that can never be attained. When we become aware of this exaggeration, we can naturally open to what is possible in our most natural and best self. Number 6, focusing on the possible. We start with the awareness that we are pursuing something that is impossible and that becomes the catalyst for grounding our friendly mind. This allows us to redirect our energy and attention to what is possible. So instead of banging our heads against the wall, we increase the ways, large and small, to see and do what is realistic and how to best take care of ourselves. In the case studies, the turning point for each of the three people was when they saw that they were reaching for completely impossible goals. As they learned to focus on the possible, they experienced a new dignity to their life's circumstances. This master key, listening to and moving from the impossible to the possible in the present and near future, allowed a new kind of strength and clarity. We experience a certain trust and peacefulness because we have confidence that we are skillfully facing the challenge at hand. As you focus on the possible, you honor yourself for making your realistic best efforts. When you see the areas where you haven't made your best efforts, it's never too late to commit to being the best you that you can be next time. This builds trust in yourself. You can let the past go and feel more confident in your capacity to handle these challenges in the near future. Here is a list of the 6 principles. Number 1, being aware of present challenges. Number 2, thinking empathically when we feel stuck. Number 3, having friendly guiding thoughts without needing to feel friendly. Number 4, making our realistic best efforts for self-care. Number 5, letting go of trying to solve the impossible. And number 6, focusing on the possible. As these principles show, friendly mind never imposes ideas from outside of yourself. It is the part of yourself that sees from the perspective of what would be friendly and supportive toward you when the totality of your life is taken into consideration and you've done all you can see that you can do. You may not be able to reliably hear what friendly mind is suggesting, but you can hear yourself asking what it would say to you at any given moment. Even as you follow these principles closely, please remember, friendly mind requires frequent self-reminders. We often forget that we need to sustain our focus on how to support ourselves at the time we are most hurting, especially when we can't change something we wish we could. These self-reminders need to be played mantra-like in the background of our days. Listening to the voice of your friendly mind. While the sound of our friendly mind's voice varies depending on the circumstances we are facing, it does have abiding qualities. It is either neutral, or when the challenges are not all-consuming, it is supportive. To demonstrate this, here is a summary of a series of sessions in dialogue form showing how Friendly Mind communicated with Jamie, who had been suffering from a melancholy state since he was a child. He had no shortage of good reasons for why he felt this way, as he had a very depressed mother, a lot of pressure to succeed from his father, and a broader family history of depression. Friendly Mind. I can see that you don't like feeling empty and melancholy like most everyone else on the planet. What makes it so hard for you now? Jamie. I'm tired of having to deal with this so much of the time and continuously having to experiment with a variety of medications. Friendly Mind. I know that you've been very diligent in your effort to find the right medications and to do whatever else is possible. This is by far the hardest time, when you're still actively looking and you haven't found anything that works. I'm really sorry that you have to go through this, but we both know you've done everything that you can do, right? Jamie, yes, but it sucks to feel this way. Friendly Mind, I can see how intolerable it feels to you. I encourage you to say, okay, emptiness, I can't change you now, so I'm going to focus on what I can do. Jamie, I can see that would be best, of course. It's just hard when the depression weighs me down. Friendly Mind, I recognize it's hard, and that's why you want to say with as much authority as possible, it's hard. I deserve to be kind to myself. I know it's the most difficult when I'm feeling down, and I know I'm doing the best I can right now. Jamie, it seems like I keep forgetting. Friendly Mind, it's to be expected when you've been suffering with something for your whole life that you would need reminders to be patient and compassionate with yourself. Know that it's a mini miracle every time you can remember friendly thoughts when you're feeling down and be as present as possible. This dialogue helped bring Jamie to the realization that he had unreasonable hopes and expectations that his chronic low-grade depression would finally leave him. His friendly mind then reminded him that the key was not to try to change his state, but to do his best to tolerate or accept it, and then be as totally present with everything else that he was capable of at that point in time. As Jamie implied, it wasn't easy, but he persevered, watched himself be able to feel down, be kind with his thoughts toward himself, and still be able to relate to his significant others in a way that showed he was present. Jamie's emptiness is just one example of an infinite variety of challenges that each of us has. Hearing another's words may make it seem obvious what would be helpful. However, all of this isn't nearly as clear when we are dealing with our own challenges. As we look closely at our lives, most of us can see quite a number of times when we're being led by a reaction to an emotion or a thought that is not serving us or anyone else. In whatever unique challenge you find yourself in, when you can access your friendly mind, every little thought that is generated, no matter how small, is a great step. Friendly Mind is always encouraging us to ask, doesn't it seem to make sense to take the time to ask for my perspective, given these challenging feelings and situations you are facing? After all, I'm only here to serve your well-being and not to harm you or anyone else. I'm not your mother, father, or spouse. I am the friendliest voice that you have access to, and I can provide you with immediate support. In a sense, you could say, I am the best you. The voice of friendly mind, simply and sensibly, deals with what is possible rather than continuing to go for the impossible. It is pragmatic, unbiased, and even-tempered. As you activate it more and more, it will become the best, most sensible, and reliable voice you have ever heard. Reflection point one. What words do you need to hear most now from your friendly mind? Let yourself look at one or two areas where you can open up to the help of some friendly words to guide you where you're most challenged emotionally. Reflection point two. What do you imagine a dialogue would sound like between your friendly mind and you regarding this challenge or feeling that you're facing? Key messages. Friendly mind exemplifies Einstein's famous realization that we cannot solve our problems with the same level of thinking that created them. Although he was mainly speaking to a different level of life's mysteries, Einstein's understanding also applies to the way we face life's greatest challenges. We cannot successfully work through the emotions in which we are embroiled at the same level of awareness that created them. This is precisely why friendly mind can play such a pivotal role. It lifts us to a new level of awareness. As we have explored in the chapter, when we find ourselves frozen in an emotional impasse, it is our friendly mind that can shift our level of focus and guidance to support change and healing. It is a breakthrough every time we can do this. We realize it's impossible to change our feelings with better feelings, but we can change our thoughts. Like strengthening a muscle with a workout at the gym, or sharpening our mind by studying for a test, using our friendly mind strengthens its potency and versatility. And the stronger it becomes, the more often we will rely on it. Over time, this virtuous cycle can transform our very lives. It will also enable a more effective use of the practices that follow. Integrating the chapters. Inquiries. After reading this chapter, how much are you glimpsing your friendly mind? Or are you aware of specific barriers to accessing? If so, then take a moment to write them down so that you can do further work with them in the following chapters. What impossible standards might you still be holding on to? Congratulate yourself if you are aware of them, and realize this is where you'll need the most help with friendly mind. If your friendly mind has started to speak to you, how does the quality of its voice sound? Can you hear it directly, clearly? If not, can you be a little friendlier with yourself in thought and realize that you are just getting started? As you identify the emotion or situation where your important desires are most out of control, can you hear your friendly mind speaking to you? If so, what is it saying and how does it sound? For additional support and further integration of practice two, I strongly encourage you to listen to the guided meditations at awarenessthatheals.org.